Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. We're here on New Visions Radio every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Yep. That's 4 p.m. Pacific over on the West Coast. And we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity of being here each and every week. It's a blessing, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
And, you know, the thing about this is sometimes we can't get into the studio. And there was a period of time where there were some health issues and we were down, and Ray kept us kind of in a syndication type of thing. Yeah. He just kept them rolling and kept the programs going. So we're really grateful for that. And it's really good to be on, you know, this is an independent music station, New Visions Radio is. And Ray has carved out this spot that people can have an opportunity to open the Bible and hear God's word.
That's wonderful.
It's not only a blessing to some of those who have contacted us, but it's a real blessing for us, isn't it, Ed?
Sure. It brings us into the word. It's a blessing to look again at the gospel of Jesus Christ, how it affects our lives.
Amen.
And we want to share it with others.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, just a little bit, we do this each week because there are new people that tune in all the time. Just tell them a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. Ed, what do we do here at Prophecies of Hope?
Well, we're just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. We just have a normal church service in terms of meeting on Sabbath or Saturdays, where we have a Bible study at 9:30 and our church service at 11. We also have a Bible study on Wednesday night. And both these studies people can Zoom into.
Yes.
So if you're ever interested in joining us by Zoom, you know, just contact us and we'll send you a link. There's also a study on Monday nights currently that just started up that Rick and Mary are doing.
Mm-hmm. And they're studying the Old Testament sanctuary and how that relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And our purpose for our existence is to share God's word with others, to share who he is, the story of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that Christ is coming again.
Yes, that even in this world, as confusing and chaotic as it is today, we can have hope. We can have peace.
Yes.
And we have this beautiful message to look forward to at a time when things will be restored back to the way God originally had planned.
Yes.
And that's the purpose behind this ministry, to preach that gospel to others. And so if people do want to contact us, how do they reach you, Ed?
Well, they can reach me at ed@prophecyhope.com.
Okay, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. Our website is prophecyhope.com. And on there, you'll find lots of sermons. You'll also find these radio programs archived. So if you go there, we've done newsletters in the past. I really hope to get back to that again sometime. It's just, we're so busy. You know, there's so much to do. And there's a number of Bible studies that we do individually with people.
Right.
And that keeps us busy. But that's just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, I don't want to forget our church service.
Yes.
The Bible study and the church service itself are streamed live online.
Yes, they are. And now, when do we do that again?
This is on Sabbath or Saturdays at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. 9:30, I'm sorry, for the Bible study. Mm-hmm. And then 11 o'clock for the church service.
Yes. So what's nice about if you tune in at 9:30, Ed is he's our primary Sabbath school teacher, and he's a really good at any question that you have. He always says, well, let's see what God's word says. And I love that.
Yeah.
And so it's very comprehensive. And at the same time, it can be very elementary, and we see the simplicity in the Bible when we do a verse-by-verse study like that. So, you know, we would love to have you tune in, and it's just an interactive school where you'll hear other people reading from the Bible and making comments on what they've got out of that particular text. And right now, of course, this is in 2023. We're in January. Actually, we're in February now. But the interesting thing about this is that right now we're studying the book of John. How long have we been doing that?
Maybe
couple of years?
6 months.
No, it's been longer than that.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's been over a year.
Okay.
And so that tells you how comprehensive it is. And what we do is try to show you the gospel throughout the Bible.
Right.
It's not just found in the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right now we're in chapter 11, just getting ready to go into chapter 12.
Yes.
If you join us, we'd love to have you.
We would love to have you. And if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we are located at 1743 West Beverly Street. So we would love to see you. And, you know, before we begin these studies here on the air, we always like to have God's blessing. So I'm going to ask Ed if he would pray for us.
All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this opportunity to again open your word. Father, just open our eyes and our hearts and minds to see what your word has to say for us today. May you give us understanding of what we read in the Bible today. May you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So before we begin here, I want to apologize to the listener if the volume is up and down. Typically, I have headphones that I wear when we record this, and so I can't hear anything that I'm saying right now. I'm just hearing it in the open air.
Right.
And so if I back away from this mic, I want to apologize. My mic is not very sensitive. But Ed has the studio mic where he can be really quiet and you'll still hear him. But now, in the weeks past, Ed, go ahead. You wanted to say something.
I was just going to say, hopefully we'll be better once our soundproofing foam actually stays on the wall.
We're still working on that. We put up some sound tiles, some squares in our studio, a week or so ago?
Yeah.
And I came in the next day and they were all laying on the floor. So today we've been working on getting those tiles up and they'll be more permanent. But it's just tragedies of life. These things happen. But
so you want to do a little review of last week?
I would like to do that. Yeah. When we studied, we had talked about the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. And can you tell us a little bit about is there a difference, Ed? What is it?
Well, there is a difference in that God spoke the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and he actually wrote them on stone with his finger and gave them to Moses.
Right.
Had to do it twice because Moses broke the first set he gave him.
Yes, he did.
The law of Moses, as it's called, was the law that God dictated to Moses. This is still from God,
mm-hmm.
but Moses wrote it down in a book.
Right. And so what I hear you saying is God himself wrote the commandments and he wrote them on stone.
Right.
God gave the law to Moses, but Moses actually wrote that down in a book, it tells
right.
us. And we
yes.
looked at those texts it was two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was out of town, I think, last week. So when we consider this and we look at these things, Where were the Ten Commandments or those stone tablets placed?
They were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the most holy place of the sanctuary.
Okay. So let's take a look. We'll begin. I think this is where we kind of left off last week.
Right.
Deuteronomy chapter 31.
Okay.
And this is from the American Standard Version. I'm just going to read this. And it raises an interesting question. But here's what it says, Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, so that's what we would call the Mosaic Law,
mm-hmm.
right? Until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites to bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So the difference in the location is what between the Ten Commandments and this book that Moses wrote in?
Well, the Ten Commandments written on stone were placed inside the Ark,
okay,
which had the mercy seat covering the Ark.
Right.
And so the law of Moses was placed on the outside of the Ark against it.
Okay, so the stone tablets were put in this golden. It was actually made of acacia wood. It was a wooden chest that was overlaid with gold,
right.
And so those stones were put inside that, and then the lid was put on, which the Bible calls the mercy seat.
Right.
And on that mercy seat, we had a cherubim on each side,
right,
which is an angel. And what was in the center of that?
It was called the Shekinah glory, or the glory of God.
Yes. And you called that the mercy seat.
Yes.
That's an interesting term, isn't
right.
it? So we have the Ten Commandments in the Ark, the Mosaic Law, or the Law of Moses dictated by God beside the Ark. But it says in that last verse there, Ed, did you have a thought you wanted to
I was going to ask a question.
Go ahead.
What does it mean that it's a witness against you?
Okay, that's good, because that's what verse 26. Let's read that again. Do you have that in the...
Yes, this is the Modern King James. It says, take this book of the law, and this is the book that God dictated to Moses. Mm-hmm. Moses wrote what God said in this book, and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, your God, so that it may be there for a witness against you.
A witness against you. So I guess the first thing I would say is there anything in the Ten Commandments that is against me?
No, it's for you. It's a blessing to keep God's commandments. It makes our lives better.
Okay. So, and I think we're going to touch on this more as we go through this. So let's go to the New Testament, because it kind of repeats what was just said there in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and for context, this is one of the things that I love about when Ed does Sabbath School, is he doesn't just extract a verse and read it. And I'm going to tell you folks that before I understood this topic, I was just pulling out a verse and reading it and taking that to the bank, so to speak.
Right.
And I was building my faith and my doctrines on one verse. And we all, I have to be honest, we all tend to do that from time to time,
right?
Because something's comfortable. But for context, I'm going to start in Colossians chapter 2. And Ed, did you want to just start in verse 11? Would you mind reading some of that? And I'll stop you here and there if that's okay.
Can I start earlier in verse 8?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
All right. This again is the Modern King James Version, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone rob you through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ.
That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful.
That's what you just said.
That's right. We have to make sure that what we're learning is from God.
Right.
Right? Okay, go ahead, please.
Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power.
Okay, I hate to keep stopping you, but this is so important because what this is telling us is when it says in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we're talking about in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So this is telling us that Jesus is in fact deity.
Yes.
He is divine as the Father is divine.
He's the Son of God.
That's right. So this is identifying him.
How can God produce a son that's not divine?
Correct. That's right. Now, we are sons of God by adoption.
Right.
But he is a son of God, literally, which is beautiful. Okay, I'm sorry. It's just so exciting.
Okay, verse 11. In whom also you are circumcised through the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you are raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having stripped rulers and authorities, he made a show of them publicly, triumphing over them in it.
Okay.
There's those words.
There you go. So I was going to interject, and Ed, he put his finger up and said, "Oh, you wait a minute. I want to finish reading this," which is good. That's what's nice about being here face to face. So verse 14 is, I'm going to read again. I'm going to, since I've got it here, a computer screen. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it, that's the book, that it may be there for a witness against thee. And then here in verse 14, what's it say in Colossians 2:14?
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's a couple of words that are interesting in that sentence. One is talking about the handwriting of ordinances.
Okay. What does that mean to you?
Well, when you look at the religion of the Jewish nation, much of their religion was based in the services of the temple.
Very true.
The ordinances, the sacrificial system, the feast days,
yes.
All of these ordinances or these commands of God pointed to what Christ would come and do.
Amen.
Their faith wasn't in the actual sacrifice. It was in what the sacrifice represented, which was the eventual sacrifice of Jesus, the Son of God.
That's right.
Which was in the future yet. They were doing this by faith.
Yes, and we can find that in Hebrews 11.
Yes.
Right? By faith, these people have a hope.
Right.
Well, by faith, we have a hope. The difference is that Jesus has already come.
We're looking backwards to what he has accomplished, believing that what the Bible said he did actually happened.
That's right. So he came and fulfilled those things
right.
which those ordinances pointed to. So, you know, I've said this before. We live in a fallen world. Had Adam and Eve stayed the course, these ordinances would not be necessary.
Right.
These things came into place because of sin. The commandments have always been, but the law, the Mosaic law, the purpose behind it was what, Ed? The commandments were there to tell us this is what God expects of
right.
you, but what's the purpose behind those handwritings?
Well, if you look at the law of Moses, it talks about those things which are against God's law and the consequences or the
yes.
penalty of going against God's law, the judgment phase of it.
Yeah, so what I hear you saying is, and we might have touched on this a couple of weeks ago, but what I hear you saying is the Ten Commandments tell me, okay, you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to commit adultery, you should worship one true God,
mm-hmm.
you should keep the Sabbath holy, but it doesn't tell us what to do when somebody steps out of that
right.
and starts breaking that law. So the law of Moses or that handwriting is this is how this is dealt with. This is how to deal with it. So Christ nailed that to the cross in what sense?
He bore the penalty for our sins.
Yes. We can't pay for it.
He bore those consequences
yes,
in his
did.
Own life.
Isn't that beautiful?
It
isn't
is.
That a beautiful thing? So this, go ahead.
But it's more than that.
Okay.
You know, earlier on in verse 12, it talked about buried with him in baptism and raised through faith in the working of God, raising him from the dead.
Let's talk about that a little bit. What does that mean?
When we are buried with him into his death in baptism, baptized under the water, you're buried in the water,
mm-hmm.
you're dying to sin.
That's right. That's symbolic, isn't it?
Yes. And you're raised, as you're raised up out of the water, you're raised into a new life in Christ.
We would call that being born again.
Born again. A changed way of living life.
Yes. Now, there's somewhere in the New Testament that talks about that, isn't it? In the book of Romans, doesn't it speak of that a little bit?
You're talking about Romans 6?
Romans 6.
Yes.
And did you want to take a moment to go there, just to kind of give them a little taste of it, or
we
do you want
can.
To keep moving?
We can.
Okay, because, you know, we're not, the only time constraint we have here is, you know, we're limited to an hour, but we can continue next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's the beauty of this. So
right.
I think this is a beautiful connection between what you just said about the law and what we see here.
Right.
So where would you like to start here in Romans 6?
Verse 1.
Okay. All right.
So I just want to say something before we start. You know, talked about that these laws that were against us, these ordinances that were against us, were nailed to the cross, taken out of the way.
Right.
So who or what was nailed to the cross? There's only two things that I know of that were nailed to the cross.
That's right.
It was Jesus,
yes.
his body was nailed to the cross, and then there was a sign nailed to it saying, this is the King of the Jews.
Right.
And so, because Jesus was nailed to the cross, we see the results of that in terms of regards to this law that was against us, this law of ordinances.
Yes, there are many people that think that when it says that these things were nailed to the cross, that they were literally nailed to the cross.
Right.
But
no.
What it's saying is that he fulfilled those things and showed us how we can overcome.
Right.
That really, there's no need for those ordinances if, in fact, we live as Christ did.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's it.
Yeah.
You see, so remember what I said just a couple of minutes ago. Had Adam and Eve stayed the course and not sinned,
right.
these other laws that tell us how to deal with sin would not be necessary. So
right.
if we have Christ in us, and we're going to read a little bit about this here in Romans 6,
right.
if we're living as he lived, there's those ordinances, there's no need for them because they have no power over me because I'm within the law of God.
Right.
So God's law isn't wiped away. It's those things that are a result of sin that are wiped away right. because I will stop sinning if I'm living like Christ.
Right. Let's read about it here. Let's in Romans do that. 6.
You want to start there?
Starting with verse 1. Again, the modern King James, Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Mm. Let it not be. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
So this is a lifestyle change.
It's, yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is a major change for a lot of people. I know it was for me.
Yes.
I have to live a different way.
Yes. And you're not left on your own to live that different way.
Okay. And this is going to tell us why yeah. as we go through, right?
Right.
So go ahead.
Verse 5. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin.
Ah.
For he who died has been justified from sins. Speaking of that death that we experience death to sin as we're buried in baptism with Christ.
That's it. So keep in mind, and I want to make this clear, there's nothing mystical that happens at a baptism. It's symbolic. It's showing that, look, I've chosen a different path.
It's an act of faith.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so we're dying. You know, it's interesting to me that when we die, what happens? Our breath goes out, right? So when we go underwater, we take a breath before we go under and we hold it.
Uh-huh.
We stop breathing for that moment. And then when we come up, we take a breath again. So it's as if we're born again.
A new life.
Yeah.
A new breath.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, verse 8.
I think
you
were in 8, yes.
Yeah. But if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourselves truly to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about, this new life in Christ.
Amen. And so this is so important. This is the gospel, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's the beauty of it. So many times we feel like it stops once Jesus died, but he's raised. He's resurrected. He lives now.
Let's finish with two more verses.
Okay,
here. Verses 13 and 14. I guess I just read 13. Let me finish with verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Mm.
For you are not under law, but under grace. We're under the grace of God that he sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart.
Yes. So it says here, Ed, you're not under law.
Yes.
But under grace. So what does that mean? Because so many people say this does away with the law.
That law that was against us.
Right.
We're not experiencing the consequences of disobedience, that penalty phase of judgment of disobedience.
There you go. Because if we have Christ in us, and look, we are born into this nature that
yes.
we have. So our tendencies are to sin, and Paul understood that completely.
That's why we need to be born again.
Yes, the Apostle Paul understood this beyond what many people
right.
realize. And so we experience that same thing. But here, if we truly have Christ in us and we've died to our sins, we've died to our old ways.
That old man of sin.
Yeah. Then the law, it's as if we don't. It's not there. And I'm talking about the penalty part. So we're not going to break God's holy commandments.
This can only be accomplished through Christ, the power of Christ in you. That's something I can't do on my own.
That's exactly right.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I've tried as well. So did you have any other thoughts? I want to go back to Colossians 2. Let's go back there because I want to pick up again in verse 14, but I'm going to read on a little bit. So we just talked about the law, wiping out the law. And mine says wiped out. Yours says blotted out.
Yes.
So here's what it says in the New King James, and beginning in Colossians 2:14. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. We said there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that's contrary or against us.
Right.
And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And again, we're talking about those judgment phase of the law.
Because he bore our penalty for our sins on the cross.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it explains more, beginning in verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, the focus here, so many times, and I run into this almost at least once a week, it seems like I run into this, where people say, Mark, you keep the seventh-day Sabbath, and you're in bondage because you're keeping the law.
And they point to these verses?
And they point to this verse because it mentions the word Sabbaths there. What's the issue with this?
Well, didn't you used to say the same thing?
I did. I used this very verse. This was my go-to verse. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning when I said, you know, I'm guilty of extracting a verse and building my doctrine on it.
Look at verse 17. It says, a shadow of things to come.
That's what it says in mine, yes.
It represented what was to come, what Christ was to come and do. And look at all the words used in verse 16.
Okay.
It talks about food or drink, feast, new moon, and the word Sabbaths.
It does use
plural.
That. Yes, it does.
All these are combined in one thing. It's the feast of the Old Testament.
That's right.
They were based on the new moon. They included, you know, food and drink offerings.
That's right.
There was different names for a multiple feast. And as a grouping, they are called Sabbaths, in terms of Sabbath being plural.
Correct, because we have the seventh-day Sabbath, which was established in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, right? And it was reiterated in the Ten Commandments.
Right.
But what's the difference between that and these other Sabbaths? Is there a difference?
Well, the seventh-day Sabbath is every seventh day.
It's eternal. And
yeah.
It's, right.
The feasts were, like, for example, the Passover is supposed to be the 14th day of the first month.
That's right. Nisan 14 is what it's called on the Jewish calendar.
So, and that day may change depending on the change of the date.
Right, just like a birthday.
Right.
The date is the same, but the day of the week might change.
Right. Well, the Sabbath is not.
The Sabbath is the same every week after week after week. So the point is that when you had that Passover, whatever day of the week that Passover was, the next day was a Sabbath, not the Sabbath.
Right.
And the one time that it did, that we know for a fact in the Bible that it mentions it lined up, was when Christ died.
What made it a Sabbath?
The fact that they would rest from those works.
They rest, they wouldn't do any work, and they were to rest from trying to save themselves.
Yes, that's right.
And realize their salvation was in the Son of God.
Yes. So again, we go back and we think about this. The Passover Sabbath was one of these ordinances that came in because of sin.
Right.
There would be no Passover. Christ wouldn't have to die if there wasn't sin.
Right.
But because there was, these things were instituted and they pointed to him coming.
When God created, and I use that word thoughtfully, when God created the seventh-day Sabbath, there was no sin.
That's exactly right. And so everything, remember, those commandments existed. There's actually a sermon on the website that's that all of the Ten Commandments exist before Sinai. And it's worth a look if you've ever wondered about that. And we go through each commandment and look at it biblically from a biblical perspective.
Right.
Now, there's one other text that was a go-to text for me.
Okay.
And I think it's worth talking about because inevitably this will come up. And that's in Romans chapter 14 in verse 5. And here's what it says. It says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And I used to use that verse to say, well, look, that's saying that I can choose whatever day I want. I don't have to keep the seventh day Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But Romans chapter 14 is about judging one another over doubtful things.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is not over the seventh day Sabbath. In fact, the Sabbath isn't even mentioned in anywhere in Romans.
Right.
So to use Romans to defend, to say, well, I don't have to keep the seventh day Sabbath, or that's not a requirement by God any longer, is taking it out of context. And what it boils down to, Ed, is when I look at Romans, you know, Jewish Christians were judging Gentile Christians for not observing their feasts. And Paul is simply saying, don't judge each other on mm-hmm. these things. The ceremonial law regarding sacrifices and the ceremonial Sabbaths are fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and those things came about again because of sin.
We have a friend that used to study with us that would give me a hard time about Romans 14:2.
Yeah.
He says, for indeed one believes to eat all things, but being weak, another eats vegetables. I'm a vegetarian. And just, you know, this isn't talking about eat whatever you want. It's talking
not.
About meat that was offered to idols, clean meat that was offered to idols.
Right. There's actually, I took pains. I did a long study on this, and there's a sermon on the website called Understanding Romans 14.
Yeah.
And it really, I think that might help you if you have any questions about this. Go ahead.
So often, much of the time, even Christians, let alone non-Christians, trying to find fault with God's word. And they try to make it say things that it doesn't. So it allows them to do whatever they want in their lives.
I'm guilty of that, Ed.
God has given us these guidelines, these rules, these laws to make our lives better.
Amen.
Not to restrict us.
That's right. He wants what, it's just like any parent. Any good parent wants their children to have the best of everything. And you want your children to learn from the mistakes you made.
Right.
Rather than making those same mistakes.
So they don't have to experience the consequences,
that's
the
right.
same pain and loss of things, loss of relationships that you might have experienced because you did things that weren't right.
Absolutely. And God is trying to save us from the consequences of sin.
Yes.
That's why he sent his son.
Right.
So it's really, it's a beautiful message.
God sent his son into the world not only to pay the penalty for our sins, but empower so we wouldn't have to continue to live in sin and experience those same hardships from breaking God's law.
Amen. You know, let's just, because you mentioned that, let's just look at John chapter 3, because so many times we read one verse.
Yes.
And we don't read what it's really saying.
Right.
But Ed, I would love for you to, John chapter 3, and I would like you to begin in, what verse, where do you want to start there?
I think I know where you're going, but I'm not sure. But let me just start by saying John chapter 3 is Jesus' conversation with a man named Nicodemus.
You want to just read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Let's just read that.
Because it talks about being born again.
And this is what we're talking
and
about.
And when we get to the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16,
mm-hmm.
Jesus, this is just the continuation of the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus.
That's right. That's right. So John chapter 3 and verse 1.
Okay. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles which you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Again, we're talking about this idea of being baptized into Christ's right. death and raised into a new life with him.
What we read in Romans 6.
When we are born of the flesh, we do those sinful things in our life. When we're born of the Spirit, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts.
Amen.
We walk according to Christ's right. character.
That's right. So where are we picking up?
Verse 7.
Okay.
"Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The Spirit breathes where he desires, and you hear his voice, but you do not know from where he comes and where he goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And no one has ascended up to heaven except he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. But even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of course, Jesus is talking about his death on the cross,
right.
being lifted up on the cross.
And just so, if I may interject,
yes.
this account that he's talking about Moses lifting up that serpent, if they looked at that serpent on the stick, that actually saved their lives,
yes.
right?
Yes.
So it's kind of, if we look at Jesus and we keep our eyes on him and we follow him, that will save our lives.
Right. What had happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness, that because of their disobedience to God, they had a plague of snakes, and those that are bitten on the snake would die unless they look
right,
onto
that serpent.
That serpent.
On the
yeah.
stick.
Yeah.
Okay, very
Continue
good.
Continue on in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. He who believes on him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in God."
What a powerful text.
Yes.
Huh? So this is showing that our lives can be changed
yes.
by Christ, that
yes.
we can literally experience this, what he was calling born again. And of course, Nicodemus misunderstood it. What am I supposed to do? And
yes.
Jesus clears that up.
Yes.
You die to your sinful ways.
Yes.
You're born again
yes.
in the Spirit.
And it's only can happen through Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
So again, this is all pointing to not that the commandments are done away, but they're actually established in Christ Jesus.
Right. It's also pointing to the new covenant.
That's it, which is?
"I'll write my laws in your hearts and minds, and I will be your God, and you will be my people."
We read that 3 weeks ago,
yes.
Jeremiah 31:31.
The same laws that are written on stone and put in the chest
mm-hmm.
of the Ark of the Covenant.
That's it.
God wants to write in my mind and in my chest, in my heart.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
That it's not that the law has changed. It's we could say the location of the law
changed.
Has changed. instead of being written on stone tablets to where they can, I can read them, but they really don't have an effect on me. He puts them in me.
In real estate, don't they say location, location, location?
Yes, they do. That's
location,
right.
Is everything.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. And especially when we're talking about in real estate and especially in God's law.
Yes.
If the law is in my heart and in my mind, I'm going to live it.
And not only that, God has sent the Spirit of Christ into your heart.
Amen.
Empowering you to be obedient to God's will.
Yes, let's look at a verse that tells us that, Ed. Where okay. do we find these things?
We go to the book of Galatians.
Okay. Galatians
chapter 4.
Okay.
And Mark, can you read verses 4 through 7?
Absolutely. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ."
Amen.
Amen. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So what difference does it make in one's life? Let's be honest. What difference does it make? You know, it talked about those that don't believe in Christ are condemned already mm-hmm. because they don't believe in the name of the Son of God. They prefer darkness over light. So let's look at this in Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
What difference does it make? And these verses talks about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh.
That's right.
And Mark, could you read verses 16 through 25?
Sure. So you gave a sermon called "What Difference Does It Make," didn't you, Ed?
It's probably. At
yeah,
some time,
yeah, it's been a while ago. Yeah. So Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, it says, and how far did you want me to read?
Just the end of the chapter.
Okay, very good.
Stop where you want, make comments or whatever.
No problem.
All right.
It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are not contrary to one another," or these are contrary. Boy, that's a big change, wasn't it? "These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So what's the part that makes me not under the law?
When you're led by the Spirit, when you're following God's commandments through the power of Christ living in you.
Amen. So verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God."
So are these things against the law of God?
Absolutely.
So the people that walk in the flesh, are they under the law?
They are under the law. They're under the penalty of the law. Yes. Let's put it that way.
Because they're breaking God's law.
That's correct.
So what happens when you walk in the Spirit?
Well, let's start in verse 22.
Okay.
It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law."
So there's no law against doing these things of walking in the Spirit. Right. So if you do these things of walking in the Spirit, you're not breaking God's law.
Amen.
And thus you don't come under the penalty of God's law.
There you go. And so it says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So when I'm reading this, you know, there's so many things that I hear, and this kind of leads us back to where we started. So many people will say, "But Jesus changed the commandments."
You know, a lot of people say that, but I never found anything in the Bible that says that.
Well, here's where they like to go. They like to go to Matthew chapter 22, and let's just take a look at that.
All right.
Matthew chapter 22, and I think we need to look at it again. The context is everything, and I want to, let me see here. I think in verse 34, can you read this? And we might just explain as we go along.
Right. Matthew 22, verse 34, modern King James. But hearing that he had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees were gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
Okay. Go ahead, Ed.
I'm going to stop here.
Good.
Is he asking Jesus, now that you've done away with the law, what law should we obey?
No, he's not saying that at all.
He says, what is the great commandment of the law that's already exists in existence?
That's right. And it's really important that we understand that, you know, there was a conversation here about the resurrection, and the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection.
Right.
And so they're trying to trap Jesus.
Yes, they are.
They're trying to trick him.
Trying to prove him, devalue him in the sight of the people.
That's right. So that's what's happening here. So continue there, if you would, Ed.
I'm going to start with verse 36 again.
Okay.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, notice the lawyer asked him, which is the great commandment law? Jesus gave him not one, but two.
Right. He gave him two commandments. And so, this is what people say, he changed the commandments.
Yeah. So
but let's talk about
what
that.
What is that first one, the first and great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Well, first of all, he's actually quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Yeah.
And this is what it says. It says, in the modern King James, and you shall love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That's exactly what he just said.
So this isn't new.
It's nothing new.
In fact, this lawyer didn't ask him for any new law.
No, he didn't. He wanted to know which was the greatest law.
Yeah. So when I look at God's Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, some people call it the moral law.
Right.
The first four are about loving God.
That's it. He summed up four commandments in one, to love God. So if you think about it, if I love God, I'm not going to have any other gods before him.
Right.
Right? I'm certainly not going to bow down to an idol.
Right.
I'm not going to blaspheme his holy name.
Right.
And I'm going to keep the day that he made holy, holy.
Yeah.
I'm simply following what God has laid out. That's the first commandment.
So if the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you'll notice that the last six commandments of God have to do with our relationship with our neighbor or with each other.
With humanity.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, and there he's quoting again. He's not quoting, Jesus never quoted the New Testament. He only quoted the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So again,
it shows you that the Old Testament is valid,
it's
right?
It's valid. Yeah. This is what Jesus was quoting. He's quoting Leviticus 19:18, and here's what it says in the modern King James. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
I am Jehovah. This was nothing new to them.
Yeah. We were laughing because obviously Jesus didn't quote the New Testament because he was in the New Testament times.
Yet, right?
A lot of people tell us, well, we're New Testament Christians. Well, and exclude the Old Testament. We just like to say, well, Jesus only quoted the Old Testament.
That's right. And you can't have the new without the old, because
yeah.
the old, all it points to the new, and the new points back to the old. And it's really beautiful.
So in both these answers that Jesus gave this lawyer, he was simply quoting the Old Testament.
Right.
Things they already knew.
And so he was meeting them not only where they were, but he was setting them straight. The first commandment, the most important, is you must love God.
Right.
And you know what? If you love God, then naturally you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is one of the problems, Ed, that we find in the world today. If we're looking at this from a practical level,
right.
There's people many people today, I should say, a lot more people today than 20 years ago have no self-respect. Hmm. And if they don't have self-respect, how can they respect someone else?
Right. Yeah.
And this is where the devil wants us. He tries to get us to where if we have no self-respect, then what's that do? That turns my world upside down.
Right.
And that's why Jesus says, and God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I don't care about or love myself or respect myself, right, I can't do that to others.
See, this is an important part of the gospel, to experience God's love for you.
Amen.
So you know the value that God has replaced upon you personally.
Yes, that's right. It's so important. And that's the thing. He loved you so much, as you just read in John 3:16.
He gave his only begotten son.
He did. I mean, can you imagine doing that for anyone? Can you imagine that as a human being, as a father? You're a dad,
yes,
Ed, giving your son.
I can't imagine that.
I can't either. It's love beyond my comprehension. Yeah. So how that makes me want to serve this God that was willing to make that great sacrifice of sending his son for me.
And knowing that he wants the best for my life.
Absolutely.
He's not trying to restrict me. He's trying to guide me into life and life more abundantly.
Amen. And this is why God is called our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
A father, a real father, a true father, loves his children and does what he can to help them, to protect them, to
including
nurture them.
Including
correction. And allowing them to suffer the consequences for their choice. If you truly love somebody, you will allow them to make the choices they want to make, even if it's contrary to what you want them to make.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Right.
But God grants us that freedom. So this is the beauty, too, of what we're reading. You know, when people say, well, that God changed the commandments. Malachi 3:6, in brief, it says, I am Jehovah, I change not.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is reiterated in Hebrews 13:8, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we see this throughout the Bible. God doesn't change. His commandments haven't changed. His covenant hasn't changed. It's the location of the commandments that has changed.
Can I share a text with you?
Please.
It's in the book of 1 John,
okay,
chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, because it talks about everything we've been talking about today.
Right.
This is going to be the King James Version.
This is 1 John 5.
1 John,
got it. I'm
chapter
there.
5, starting with verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him that is also begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
Mm.
For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
Wow.
Everything we've talked about this morning, overcoming through Christ, God's commandments are still in existence. If we love God, we'll keep his commandments. It's just beautiful.
It really is. It's an amazing thing. And it shows us that God's plan of salvation is complete.
Yes.
There's nothing missing. He not only lays out the plan of salvation for us, but he gives us a way to overcome,
yes,
in this world that we live in. And how do we overcome, Ed? How does that happen? Explain that to me in a nutshell. How can I overcome?
When I walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Galatians chapter 5.
Yes. When I have Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Yes. Now, when you say that, you're quoting from Colossians.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Okay.
We have about 2 minutes.
All right.
So let's wrap this
Colossians
up.
Colossians chapter 1.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read verses 25 through the end of the chapter.
Okay.
This is the Modern King James. It's the beginning of a sentence. Paul has long sentences.
Yes, he does.
Of which I became minister according to the administration of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, For to them God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, for which I also labor, striving in according to the working of him who works in me in power.
Wow. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
People say God is a mystery, and they use Colossians chapter 2 sometimes to, when it talks that Paul would have you the full understanding of the riches of the mystery of God. Mm-hmm. And we find out here that the mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
It's not saying God is a mystery.
No, it's not.
In fact, God wants us to know him. He wants a relationship with us. And we can have that through his son, Jesus Christ.
God has gone through a lot of trouble to reveal himself to us, not to remain a mystery.
Right.
He wants us to know him and his son. He wants to save us from this wretched life that we live. And it's just beautiful. You know, it's unfortunate that we have to live in this world, but he has to allow these things to happen so that he can destroy sin once and for all.
Right.
It has to be revealed. And so it's hard to believe that we're out of time. Did you have a closing comment that you wanted to make?
It can wait.
Okay. Well, next week we'll pick up where we left off. We're not quite through with this commandment study. Don't forget your thought for next week. I want you to bring that out. And so before we wrap things up, it's always good. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off the air.
All right. Sounds good.
So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible. We thank you for how complete it is, and for the sending your son here that we can actually recognize that he lived and he died and he lives again, and Father, that we can have his spirit dwelling in us. Thank you for this gift. We ask that you will be with each one that's listening here, that you'll keep us safe until we come together again. Please, Father, help people to understand and know that it's your will that everyone be saved, and we just ask that people will turn their minds and their hearts to you and your son. We thank you again for this time, and Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, I want to thank you for being here again. It's always a blessing to me.
It's always great looking at God's Word.
It really is. And friends, thank you for tuning in. We hope you tune in again next Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.